The following is a lecture given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on June 14th at Hari Das Giri Seva Samajam in Shah Alam, Malaysia.
Vandeham. Shri Guru Shri Jada Bhada Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagraja Sagana Ragunatan Vidan Tam Sajiva Sajaita Zavaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva. Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha. So in the history of the universe, the Vedic culture ruled the entire planet Earth for thousands and millions of years. The whole planet Earth was ruled by Vedic kings from Hastinapur.
We need some Tamil translation.
Tamil translation.
Speak out of trance. Is it okay?
All right. You so, sit here and do a live by now.
Yeah. Can we remove this?
No, it's not
necessary.
It's okay.
Sorry, good idea.
So now we will have Tamil translation, so I will start over again. Should have been here from the beginning. You should have already been here. Not after I begin lecture. You should have been here before it.
You can directly go. Sorry for the interruption.
There's no need for the Tamil? Is there a need for Tamil or not? Yes or no? Who needs to hear it in Tamil? Ask them in Tamil language. Who cannot understand English? Say it in Tamil. Everyone can understand English? It's okay. So, all right. So this, for millions of years, this entire planet was ruled by the Vedic kings. And the Vedic knowledge was handed down from the higher planets. For example, there's a dynasty of King Surya dynasty. This Vedic knowledge was given to Suryadeva by Krishna. Imam vivashvate yogam proktavan nahamavyayam vivashvan manade praha manur ikra kavim. Krishna tells Arjuna, I instructed this imperishable science of yoga to the sun god Vivashvan. Vivashvan instructed it to Manu, the father of mankind, and Manu in turn instructed it to Ikshvaku. So this knowledge was coming down from the higher planets. And this whole planet was Vedic. Only in the last few thousand years have the foreigners come and they have taken control away from the Vedic culture. But that's only very recent thing. If you consider for millions of years the Vedic culture ruled, it was only like yesterday that the Vedic culture fell out of power. Why did it fall out of power? Kali Yuga. It's the Kali Yuga. One Brahmin boy, he misused his Brahmin power. His Brahminical power was misused. The great king of the whole planet Earth, Parikshit Maharaj, he was wandering in the forest and he became a little thirsty. So the sage was meditating in his hut and he was deep in trance. He had lost all external consciousness, being deep in meditation. So when the king came to visit his hut, he did not come out of his meditation. He didn't realize the king was even there. So the king became superficially angry. And he decorated, normally we give a sage a garland, you see. When the sage, when you come to a sage, you give him a garland, some gift, a garland. So he took a dead snake and he garlanded the sage with a dead snake out of his anger. So when his son, Sringi, heard about this, he became very angry. And he cursed the king to die within 7 days. Actually, the king was not to be cursed. He's a great saintly king. And just because he became a little angry with the sage, there's no reason to curse him to die. Is it? So this foolish boy, Sringi, he cursed the king. And in those days, the Brahmins had great power. Even the son of a Brahmin, if he uttered any words, those words would come true. Just by uttering those words would come true. Such power they had. He was able to assassinate the king. Just a little boy could assassinate the king just by uttering some words. That's how powerful the Brahmins were in those days. So King Parikshit, he's a powerful Vaishnava. He could have reversed the curse. But he was not attached to worldly power and opulence. He was a transcendentalist. He was a Rajarshi. He was a saintly king. He said, this is a blessing. I know I will die in 7 days. Let me just sit down and prepare for death. And leave my kingdom to my son and totally renounce everything. He said, this is a great blessing. I will not reverse this curse. I will accept this curse gladly. So many great sages came. And you may be surprised to hear that even a sage came from Europe. Europe. The Vedic culture was the whole planet in those days. Even there were sages in Europe. And of course they came from other planets also. So there was big discussion going on, you know. What should the king do now to prepare for death? One sage had one opinion, another sage had another opinion. And they could not be resolved what he should do to prepare for death. Until one young, great transcendentalist Paramahamsa Shukadev Goswami, he was only 16-year-old boy. He came, Naga Baba, completely naked boy, great transcendentalist. As soon as he arrived on the scene, everyone understood he, all arguments stopped. As soon as he entered the assembly, all arguments stopped. Everyone could see this boy is the most realized transcendentalist. So he can tell what the king should do. So, for 7 days straight, I mean to say for 168 hours nonstop, there was a Bhagavad Gita. Shukadev gave the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Parikshit Maharaj, he simply heard and he inquired also. So in this way, the last 7 days of his life, he fully absorbed himself in hearing about Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, this is actually the Vedic conclusion. Of course, we see there worship many different gods in Vedic culture. That's a fact. There are actually 33 million demigods. If you wanted to worship all of them, you'd have to have a pretty big temple. Can you imagine having 33 million altars in the temple? How big the temple would have to be? And you'd have to have 33 million priests to do all the pujas. And how many devotees to assist to all make the plates and clean the paraphernalia? Can you imagine if it would take maybe 100 million people just to do the pujas? You see. So in this to make things simple, there is one God according to Vedic wisdom. There is one God. He is called Deva Deva. He is called God of the gods. It is described that Lord Shri Krishna is actually the Supreme Godhead. Lord or Vishnu, same thing. Vishnu, Krishna, same thing. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, it is described, Om Tad Vishnu Padamang Padam Sada Pashyanti Suryo Deviya Chakshiratatam. All the gods and goddesses, they are looking to the abode of Vishnu, the Supreme Abode. Om Tad Vishnu Paramang Padam Padam, that supreme abode of Lord Vishnu. So this is why especially it is recommended in the Vedas that by chanting the holy name of Vishnu, the supreme God of the gods, then you get the greatest benefit. This like when you water a tree. How do you water the tree? You sprinkle a little water on this leaf, a little water on that leaf, a little water here, a little water there. Is that how you water the tree? No. When you water the tree, you put the water on the root, isn't it? Mula. When you water the root of the tree, then all the leaves and branches are nourished automatically. So the great gods and goddesses in the Vedic pantheon, they understand the secret of bhakti, and therefore they all give their devotion to Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Godhead. It is also described in the Vedic wisdom that the original form of that Supreme Godhead is Krishna. He is the original form. As Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, Aham Sravasya Prabhava Mataksarvam Pravartate. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. And Brahmaji also says, Ishvaraha Paramaha Krishnaha Satchirananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. Krishna is the Supreme Controller. He has an eternal form full of knowledge and bliss. He has no origin. He is the origin of all. He is known as Govinda, and he is the supreme cause of all causes. So it is confirmed throughout the Vedic wisdom, and it is confirmed by Arjuna also in the Srimad Bhagavad Gita. In chapter number 10, text number 12, Arjuna explicitly states, Parang Brahma, Parang Dhamma, Parittam Paramang Bhavan, Purusham Shashvatam Divyam Adidevam Vajang Bhavan. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the ultimate abode, the purest, the absolute truth. You're the eternal, transcendental, original person, the unborn, the greatest. And then Arjuna continues to explain in text number 13. Ahustvam rishaya sarve naradas. He says, what is that? Ahustvam rishaya. How does that go begin? Naradas. Devarshir naradas tata. Asito devi la vyasa. Ahustvam rishaya sarve. I'm just not forgetting how it begins. Begins that 10:13. How does that begin? 10:13. First line. Oh yeah, I had it right. Ahustam nushya sarve devarshar nandanastata asito devilavyasa. Svayang chaiva bhavishime. Yes, I had it right. Ahustang rishaya sarve dirvarshir naradastata asita devalo vyasa svayang chaiva bhavishime. Then Arjuna continues to explain that all the great authorities such as Narada, Asita, Devala, and Vyas confirm this truth about you, and now you yourself are declaring it to me. So this is confirmed by Vyasadeva, by Asita, Devala, Vyas, all the great Vedic authorities accepted Krishna as the Supreme Godhead. So whether we take Krishna or Vishnu, it is the same principle. The Supreme Personality of Godhead that all the demigods look to as the Supreme. So, therefore it is recommended that in this age of Kali, it is recommended that we should worship that Supreme Godhead, especially by chanting. As mentioned in Brihad Naradiya Purana, Haranama, 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 Iva Kevalam, Kalonas, Devanas, Devanas, Deva, Gatiranyata. Chant the holy names, chant the holy names, chant the holy name. There is no other alternative, there is no other alternative, there is no other alternative for God realization in this age of Kali. That is the statement of the Brihad Naradiya Parana. And then, well, which mantra? There are many mantras. Then that is stated in the Kali Santarana Upanishad, that of all the mantras found throughout all the Vedas, the most powerful, effective mantra for delivering one from material existence is Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It is called Maha Mantra. Mantra means that which delivers the mind. And Maha means great. So the great mind deliverer is the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So therefore we recommend when you get up in the morning, the first thing you should do is chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then while you're brushing your teeth and you're shaving and you're showering and doing everything else, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. When you're doing your morning meditation, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. When you're taking your breakfast, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. When you're going to work, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama. You may say, how can I do it at work? I mean, my boss will fire me if I just chant all day at work. But I was working as a salesman for a big corporation in the USA. And even though I was accustomed to wearing the tilak, when I applied for the job, I didn't wear the tilak. I thought they might not hire me with the tilak, you see. But after I worked there a little while, I thought, I'm just going to be myself today. I'm going to wear tilak to work. And that day, I sold like crazy. I mean, I made a lot of money for the company that day. I was fired up with my tilak. And my boss took a look at me and he said, I don't know what that is on your forehead, but you got to wear it every day. So yes, you can be Krishna conscious at work also, because whatever you're thinking of Krishna, you'll be fired up, you'll be enthusiastic, you'll be jolly, you'll be like a volcano of bliss spewing happiness in all directions wherever you go. You see what I'm saying? So if you just be Krishna conscious, when people will see you, they'll become blissful just by seeing you. You'll just be like a sun god walking around Kuala Lumpur, you know, if you're Krishna conscious. So in this way, we recommend that if you can just remember Krishna, who's the source of unlimited nectar, unlimited bliss, unlimited happiness, you see. And Krishna literally means, Krish means greatest and Na means pleasure. It means the greatest pleasure. So who wants the greatest pleasure? Does everybody want the greatest pleasure? Yes. Everybody wants the greatest pleasure, and the greatest pleasure is Krishna. So all you have to do if you want the greatest pleasure is go Krishna, and then you get the greatest pleasure. It's a very simple thing. You don't have to have $1 million. You don't have to have an iPhone. All you need is Krishna, and then you can be ecstatic, you see. Doesn't matter where you are, who you are, what you're in, what you're not in. It doesn't matter. All you have to do is go Krishna, and then you become ecstatic, you see. So it's a very simple program. It's so simple that people just can't get it. That's why Krishna says, Raja Guhyam, in Bhagavad Gita chapter 9, text number 2. He says, even though this is the greatest thing, it remains the topmost secret because it's so simple that people just can't, their minds are too sophisticated. They just can't capture it. It's too simple for the modern sophisticated mind to understand it, that all you have to do to get unlimited bliss is say, Krishna. They can't understand how it could be possible. It doesn't cost any money. There's no sex life involved with it. I mean, they just can't understand how just by going Krishna, you could get the greatest happiness, you see. It's too simple for the modern day sophisticated brain, raised on television and now the internet, you see. They just can't understand it. But actually the great sages knew this art. They could sit in the forest with no money, no house, no clothing, no toothbrush, no cell phone, no laptop computer, not even an internet connection, and just be completely blissful in the forest without even any refrigerator or a car or anything. Just Krishna, you see. So we're encouraging everybody to learn how to meditate on the Supreme Person, you see, the source of all existence. Learn how to meditate on God. Now, if you think Krishna is some sectarian thing, you can chant Vishnu or Nrisimha or Rama. Any name of Vishnu you can chant. Even if the Muslims, they want to chant Allah, we have no objection. The Christians want to chant Christ, we have no objection. Because these names designate that Supreme Person. Christ actually, Jesus is the devotee and Christ is his father. Jesus of the Christ. And where does that word Christ come? It's an English word coming from the Greek word Christos, which comes from the Sanskrit word Krishna, which is another word saying another way of saying Krishna. So actually the Christians are actually already chanting Krishna. Just in a different way, that's all. A slightly different accent. Just like even now, someone who's just like, you know, in India, somebody's name is Kisto, you know. It's just a nickname way of saying Krishna. So Christ is actually a nickname way of saying Krishna. Christo, Krishna, the same thing. So in this way, we encourage everybody that there's no reason to be in anxiety, there's no reason to be bewildered, confused, deluded, to feel down and out, or depressed, or discouraged, or downtrodden, or any of these kind of, you know, negative emotions that people get into nowadays when they see the news and they hear what the government's up to these days. There's no reason to be bothered by any of this stuff. All you have to do is reconnect with God, you see, with the Supreme Lord, through chanting His holy names, and then you'll be living in a whole other world, you see. What this material existence is actually a covering. It's like a curtain. It's not the actual eternal existence. It's a temporary curtain which is covering the eternal spiritual existence. So if you will chant the names of God, then the curtain will draw back and you'll see the spiritual world right in front of you. You see? So don't let Malaysia get you down. You see? Don't let this material world get you down. It's simply a curtain. It's simply a covering. And if you'll chant the holy names of God with faith and devotion, with great determination every day, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, and gradually this curtain will withdraw and you'll see God face to face. You'll see Krishna face to face. Or if you're a Ram Bhakti, you'll see Lord Ram face to face. If you're a Nrisimha Bhakti, you'll see Lord Nrisimhadeva face to face. And you'll see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face, eye to eye. If you chant His names every day in a meditative, loving mood every morning before you begin your activities. If you'll set aside quality time to meditate on the holy names of the Supreme Godhead every morning, I guarantee you, you won't be the same person. People go, what happened to you? You used to look so miserable, but now you're just like a sun god. What's going on? What happened? Are you high on drugs or what's going on? You say, yes, I am high. I'm high on the ultimate drug, Krishna Prema. Rupa Goswami said that. He said that Krishna Prema is the ultimate drug. So if you want to get intoxicated, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then your whole life will be transformed, and everyone who is around you there will be transformed by your association. When you become transformed, when you become a spiritually enlightened being, all of those people that you deal with, they will be affected by your consciousness. Spiritual enlightenment is a contagious disease. If you become spiritually enlightened, then everybody you contact will be affected by them. In this way, we can actually change the whole planet. We can change this country. We can make this a spiritually enlightened country, a true universal peace and brotherhood, you see, in every country of the world. Simply, we have to dive deeply into chanting the holy names of God. Deeply, deeply, deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. There's no limit to how deep you can get absorbed in the names of God. You see. Now some people say, well, God doesn't have any name. So what's the point of chanting the name of God? They say, this doesn't make any sense. Because God has no name. They say, but God is unlimited, therefore He cannot have a name. You see. But wait a minute. If you say that God cannot have a name, dear sir, you are limiting God. How can you tell God, my dear God, you cannot have a name? I can have a name, but you can't. I mean, that's putting a limit on God, isn't it? When we say God is unlimited, that doesn't mean He has no name and He has no attributes. No. When we say God is unlimited, that means He has unlimited names and unlimited attributes. That's why it is sometimes said that God has no name, because he has no one particular name, because he has unlimited name. You understand? But if there's any one name which describes that person who has unlimited names, the best name is Krishna. Why? Because each of those unlimited names describes another one of the unlimited attributes of that Supreme Godhead. And each one of those attributes is an attractive quality, just like a facet on a diamond, you see. Just imagine a diamond that had an infinite number of facets, how attractive that diamond would be. An infinite number of facets on that diamond, you see. It'd be the most amazing diamond in all of existence. Well, there is such a diamond, and that diamond is the all-attractive one, Krishna, you see. So yes, we could say that God has no name because he has unlimited name. But if there's any one name which best describes that person who has unlimited names, that name is Krishna. So we shouldn't think it's wrong to address God by a name, because he's unlimited. They say, well, God cannot have a form because he's unlimited. A form would limit him. But your form limits you. My form limits me. That's a fact. But God has an unlimited form that encompasses all of existence. He can be in one place doing something and at the same time be everywhere all at the same time. That's God, is it? A mystic yogi can be in 8 places at once doing the same thing. He can have a mirror image doing the exact same thing in 8 different forms. You see? Now, if a simple mystic yogi can have 8 forms all doing exactly the same thing at the same time, why God can only have one form, or cannot have a form? God has unlimited forms. That is God. So we should never think that the unlimited nature of God means that he has no attributes, he has no qualities, he has no activities, he has no name, etc. That is a complete misinterpretation of the Vedic wisdom, and it's confusing people. Of course, Shankara didn't teach it, that's a fact, but he did it for a purpose of defeating Buddhism, and then once he defeated Buddhism, he taught again the personal conception of God. After he used this impersonal philosophy, this arupa nirakar philosophy, nirgun philosophy, to defeat the Buddhists, then he reestablished that God has a name, God has a form, etc. But his followers didn't get the message. They didn't get the message. So we are giving the message, you see. Our spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, is the greatest proponent of Vedic culture in the history of the universe. Because he has taken Vedic culture and successfully spread it all over the world. Who can imagine that some Christian kid in Texas can become a Vaishnava? Well, that's what happened to me, you see. In Texas, of all places. The land of the cowboys, the cow killers, is it? He could become a Vaishnava and dedicate his whole life for preaching Bhagavad Gita all over the world. Can you imagine the potency of Srila Prabhupada, the great Shakti he had? And now you should see how his movement is spreading in Russia and in China. It doesn't stop. Prabhupada's movement is, he has so much Shakti in this Hare Krishna movement, in this ISKCON. It's spreading all over the world. We've just come from South Africa. It's huge there. We've been in Eastern Europe. We've been in Western Europe. Now we're going on to New Zealand and the Fiji Islands and Australia. And then we're going to the United States. And then we're going to Europe. And everywhere we see this Hare Krishna movement is expanding, expanding, expanding. Because the founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, was especially empowered by God to make a spiritual revolution all over the whole world. So we're very happy to see that you are trying to advance yourself spiritually here in your wonderful temple. And we are your well-wishing friends in this regard. So we hope that we can continue to be together as brothers and sisters on this pathway of to bring the Vedic culture back to the planet Earth. So we thank you very much for your kind attention. And now I can ask if there's any questions. So you better come here and be my hearing aid.
Meaning of this Maha Mantra.
Meaning of the Maha Mantra. I got that one. Okay. What is the meaning of the Maha Mantra? Literally, Hare is the energy of God. And specifically, this refers to Srimati Radharani, Krishna's energy. Krishna means the all-attractive one. Rama means the supreme enjoyer. So this prayer then is a calling out to the Supreme Person, who is the Supreme All-Attractive One and the Supreme Enjoyer, through the medium of his energy, Srimati Radharani. It's a prayer to Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, begging them that you please engage me in your service. We're calling out and begging them to engage in service. You see, this is our actual identity. We are servants of the Supreme Godhead. God is emanating us from Himself for the purpose of enjoying a loving relationship with us. We exist for the very purpose of serving God. And that's why we exist. Otherwise, why are we even here? This is all the arrangement of the Lord, that He doesn't want to be alone, but He wants to have servants who can serve Him with love. Of course, He serves us also, as a father serves the children. So anyway, this prayer is for reviving our lost loving relationship with the Lord. We have forgotten that we're His servants. We're thinking that we're the independent enjoyers of this world. And in this attempt to enjoy, we're becoming frustrated and bewildered. That's a fact. So by chanting this, this revives our original consciousness that we once had before we fell down from the spiritual world. This brings us back, you see. This mantra is like a powerful airplane, mantra vimana, that actually carries us back to our original identity, our original home, our original consciousness in the transcendental kingdom of God. You don't need a physical rocket ship to transport you across the universe into the spiritual world. All you need is this Hare Krishna mantra. So if you will learn how to make a habit of chanting Hare Krishna every day, with great love, with great focus, as like a yogi would do his meditations in the forest, with great focus of attention. If you will go deep into the mantra every morning, you will feel how you're being lifted up out of this material existence and how you're traveling day by day closer and closer to the Supreme Lord and His transcendental kingdom, Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. Does that answer your question? Okay. Any other questions? If the name of Krishna is so potent and so powerful, let me just go Krishna, 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 Krishna. How do we go? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's the question. The answer is Mahajano Yena Gata Sapanta. The pathway to spiritual perfection is to follow in the footsteps of the great Mahajanas. Because this has come down from the great Mahajanas. This is the most powerful and perfect way to reconnect with God. Therefore, we do this. If they had told us simply to utter the name of Krishna and leave out Hare and Rama, we would have done that. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, he personally came and chanted, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Narada Muni, everyone has heard of Narada Muni. He also goes around chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Even Lord Brahma, all the great personalities, they chant Hare Krishna. So, this is the prescribed method coming down from these great personalities. Therefore, we do not try to concoct something thinking that I know better than the great acharyas. We take what has been carefully handed down to us by the great acharyas, because Krishna says this is the way to understand the absolute truth. Evam parampara praptam imram racharshayo vidu. This knowledge is understood through the chain of disciplic succession. So you hear from guru, you hear from sadhus, and you study the scripture. And in this way, you understand how to perfectly follow the pathway of self-realization. Does that answer your question? Very good. Okay. Any other wonderful... These two questions have been very wonderful. I thank both of you for these wonderful questions. Another one, okay.
What is the real happiness means?
Real happiness means beyond this material body. In other words, there's the happiness of the senses, you see, which is a temporary happiness. The sense happiness is like the seasons. Sometimes the weather is pleasant, sometimes it's not pleasant. So any sensual pleasure that you have, it is always temporary, it never remains. But real happiness is when you revive your loving relationship with God. Because that happiness is completely free from the dualities of material existence. This is described in Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 5, text number 21. Bhayasparshe svatakvatma vindat yatmani yatsukam sabrahma yoga yuktatma sukam akshayam ashnute. Krishna says that he describes a person who has revived his loving relationship with God. He says such a liberated person is not attracted to material sense pleasure because he is always tasting the pleasure within. In this way, the self-realized soul enjoys unlimited happiness, for he always concentrates on the Supreme Person. So this is real happiness, to be meditating on the Supreme Godhead. This is actual happiness. All other types of happiness, whether it be power, prestige, money, sex life, eating, whatever it may be, it's just temporary. It's not real happiness. It's some temporary sensation of feeling kind of okay. Really, that's all it is. You want to taste the real nectar, you have to reconnect yourself with God. That's when you're going to really taste the nectar. Until then, you're just fooling yourself that you're happy. You're not really happy until you reconnect with God. Anything else? So I've come tonight to try to reconnect you all with God. I hope I've been successful. Because I want you to be happy. Somebody just wrote me a letter. They said, I'm dropping out of your e-course because you're just trying to serve your own purpose. I said, yes, actually I am trying to serve my own purpose. My own purpose is to make everybody happy by reconnecting with God. And if you don't like that purpose, well, you can drop out of my course. That's true. That is my purpose. My purpose in life is to make every person, every man, woman, and child on the face of this planet happy by reconnecting them with God. That's my purpose. So I hope I served my purpose tonight when I came here. If I help you all to feel closer to God, then I've done something good tonight. I'm hoping I did something good. Anything else? Yeah.
This question is not related to what you know.
I just want to know why we are not worshipping Mahaprabhu in the form of Sanyasi. We are worshipping in the form of
Sanyasi. Yes, why do we not worship the form of Lord Chaitanya as a sannyasi? Why do we worship him as a grihastha with long hair? Why? Actually, we are his servants and we want him to always enjoy, you see. So a household life is a license for enjoyment, and sannyasi is a life of torture. You see, so we want to see him enjoying. Therefore, we worship him as a householder, not as a sannyasi. That's the thing. Of course, it's not really torture, but it seems that way sometimes externally. You see, actually, to fully renounce this world is the greatest happiness, and greater than any pleasure. But still, from an external viewpoint, we want to see him happy and enjoying life. Prabhupada explains like this. We want him to see him happy and enjoying, not doing austerities. This is the difficulty of being a traveling spiritual master, you see, because the spiritual master is meant to do austerities, not be a sense enjoyer. Then everywhere I go, they have these huge banquets, you know. A banquet for breakfast, a banquet for lunch, a banquet for dinner. And, you know, it's difficult. Some sannyasis just become big. But it's not so healthy. It can lead to health problems. You get big. So I'm trying to keep, you know, trying to be sense controlled, so I can stay healthy and have a long life of preaching. Any other questions? Okay then. Okay, we can stop then. We thank you all very much for attending this program tonight. I really appreciate each and every one of you tonight for coming here and listening nicely. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.